Everybody, welcome back to the special edition of the Bible Tidbits podcast as we recap Genesis 1 through Genesis 11, 26, the first big part of Genesis. And we could call this first section the history of the early world because it truly documents everything in the world. And we've seen it end last week with the Table of Nations. So we see the world coming to this point of expansion. And now that we're at this point of expansion, we kind of focus in. And now part two, which we will start up next week, we could call the history of the patriarchs, with Abram being the first of the patriarchs. And as we start, we've seen a lot of genealogies. And I know genealogies is always a struggle point for people, but I want to take a look at the genealogies that are in Genesis thus far. And I told you at the beginning, I've written them all down here right at the beginning of my notes. On the second page is a genealogy that goes through the whole book of Genesis, starting with Adam and finishing out with the 12 sons of Jacob. But whenever we look at this, we completed the first part with Haran, Nahor, and Abraham. And this is the majority of the genealogy that we see throughout here. So we've covered a lot of history in these first 12 or first 11 chapters of Genesis. And now we aren't going to cover as much time. We're still going to cover a lot, but it's more spread out. We take it a little slower as we finish out, you know, the brunt of Genesis. You know, we're only in chapter 11. There's 50 chapters. So we see that there's a difference in size, of course. But I'm going to read my genealogy that I've got written out to the point that we are at now. And then I'm going to take a pause. Then we're going to finish it out. We go Adam, Seth, Enosh, Kenan, Mahalalel, Jared, Enoch, Methuselah, Lamech, Noah, Shem, Arpachshad, Shelah, Eber, Peleg, Reu, Serug, Nahor, Terah, to Abraham. So those two major long sections take us from Adam, who's son of Seth, then we jump down to Shem, or down to Noah, who's son of Shem, then we jump down from Shem to Terah, whose son is Abraham. And this is the genealogy that we've covered thus far. And we see lots of important people throughout it. The two major characters of this first part are Adam and Noah and their sons. And we see them come about. We see Enoch. We know that he walked with God and then was not because God took him. We see Methuselah, the oldest man in the Bible. There's your Bible trivia answer. And then we see all these great heroes of the faith come about. And then we also have seen that none of them are the snake crusher. From here, starting with Abraham, this is how we're going to finish out Genesis. We go from Abraham to Isaac, Isaac to Jacob, and Jacob to his 12 sons. And that will be how we finish Genesis. And each of these have siblings. Isaac has Ishmael, Abraham's other son that he should not have had. We see Jacob and his brother Esau. We see the struggles between them, but we can follow that is the line of promise. So that's the family line we've been tracing throughout Genesis. And now we're to Abraham. But looking back through these first 12 chapters, we've really covered a lot. We've seen the creation of count, which has its hymn-like structure that we can follow. We get a glimpse of what man is with the theology of man, that we are the imago Dei, the image of God, and that we are blessed. We see that God's creation was good and God instituting the Sabbath. We see in chapter 2 the shift from Yahweh to Elohim, or from Elohim to Yahweh, and Yahweh is the more relational name of God. And we see that shift in the creation of man, to see the relationship that man has with God here at the beginning. We then see Adam having access to the tree of life, which is an awesome thing. And then the creation of woman, Adam's helper. And we see the biblical institution of marriage where man shall leave his father and his mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. But then from here, we see the fall. We see sin come into the world through Adam. We see Adam supposed to be the leader, as has been evident thus far, but we see him not leading Eve well, and then falling into the sin of eating the fruit. Think about that. They had access to the tree of life right there. They just were to not touch the tree of knowledge of good and evil. We see that the deceiver truly wants to make us question God. That's why we need to know the Bible. That's why we need to study it, like we're studying in this podcast, like I hope you're doing on your own as well, so that we cannot be easily deceived. And because of that they were deceived, we see them fall into sin and the results of the curse. But in this curse, we see a couple bits of hope, which is what we should really be looking for in this. We see that there will become a great snake crusher in Genesis 3:15. Someone that he will have his heel bruised, but he will crush the snake. And we also see hope in that God provided the clothing for Adam and Eve so that they were not naked. We see more hope come as they bear children together. But then we see that their children too, just like them, fall into sin. Their children, though Eve seems like she believes one of them will be the snake crusher, we see that is not true. One is killed and the other is the murder. Through it, we see that our worship matters. It is all based upon worship. We see where one brother was not having his heart set on God and his worship, which was Cain. And then he killed his brother Abel, who was offering proper worship. And we see the curse of Cain is similar to the curse of Adam in that it relates to how he will live. Then we see our beginnings of genealogies, which lead us to increasing corruption on earth. From the point of the fall, it's nothing but a downward spiral, where man becomes more and more sinful. But throughout this downward spiral, we see Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. And through Noah, God commissioned him to make an ark. And Noah makes this ark to take all the animals, not all, but, you know, two of each kind, take all the kinds of animals, and to get through a flood where God's going to wipe out every living thing, all of man and all the animals, he's going to wipe out because of their increasing corruption. But we see in chapter 6, verse 18, God saying, I will establish my covenant with you. Then whenever we get to chapter 9, verse 9, we're going to see God does establish that covenant with Noah. Chapter 8, we see God remembers Noah through the flood and brings him to safety and gives him the commission to be fruitful and multiply. The same commission given to Adam, signifying that Noah is the new Adam. We also see increasing some laws about the value of human life and how we too should still value human life. There's also value on animal life, saying it's not without value. We shouldn't just rampage kill for no reason. And then God establishes his covenant with Noah and with all of flesh and every living creature. We see this covenant language. This is the first covenant in the Bible. But this will continue throughout the story of the Bible. And all these covenants will have a sign. And the sign of this covenant is a bow in the sky that we would call a rainbow. It seems as though Noah might be the snake crusher. As he has lived a righteous life, he's delivered man through their increased corruption. But then we see at the end of chapter 9, Noah falls, just like the rest of sinful man. He overindulges in wine and becomes drunk. Then one of his sons sees him naked, but instead of covering him, he takes enjoyment of it and he too is cursed, or his son is cursed. And we see that it's through his son, just like earlier through the genealogies. It's through his son that the curse will continue, because that's who they are. You know, Canaan and all his descendants are just like their father Ham. Just like all the descendants of Cain are just like their father Cain. And this takes us to another genealogy that we looked at called the Table of Nations. And this is where the shift begins to happen from where we look at the world to where we're going to be looking at the patriarchs of Israel. God, through his divine orchestration at the Tower of Babel and other events in history, splits up the world, creates new languages, new peoples, and they spread out and disperse, covering the earth and being fruitful and multiplying. And in the Table of Nations, we see nations that are familiar even to us today, such as Egypt. It's all through the work that God did at Babel to confuse their language, to make them spread out. And then that takes us to the final genealogy of part one, where we see it go from Shem, who was on the ark, to Abram. So we go from Adam to Noah, and then Shem to Abram. And Abraham will be the first of the patriarchs. God will become known as the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But all through this first part of Genesis, we've seen a few key things that we need to carry with us. We've seen the power of God at work in history. We've seen the power of God at work in creation as well. And we've seen the power of God at work in the lives of individuals. He's orchestrated the biggest events in history. He created everything for history to occur in. And we've seen him in the specific lives of individuals working with them alone. If that's not a beautiful picture of who God is, I don't know. Not only is he concerned with everything in existence, but he's concerned with the individual and everything in between. And not only is he concerned with them, but he works through them and uses them for his divine purpose. It's such an awe-inspiring image of God. And I think that's a big thing that we need to get from this first part of Genesis, who God is. He is the all-powerful God. He's the all-powerful God that doesn't tolerate sin. But he's the all-powerful God that will work through us, even amongst our sin. But praise be to God that it's through this elect line that we see him working, that will eventually bring Jesus, who came to this earth and died for our sins. These things that are displeasing God, Jesus died for, so that we might accept salvation. And I assume most of you listening to this podcast do have a personal relationship with God. You have put your faith in him. But if you haven't, know this. It's the most important decision you'll ever make, to trust in God as your Lord and Savior. You've seen his power. You've seen what he can do throughout Genesis. You know it. Allow him to work on you individually, to create in you a new heart, to forgive you of your sins so that you can walk in a new life in him. For those of you who I assume many of you are that are listening, do know Christ and have put your faith in him, realize the gravity of that. Realize the seriousness of your sin. Because of sin, God wiped out the whole world in the flood. That's how serious sin is. That's how serious your sin is. But he forgave you of it when you put your faith in Jesus Christ. How awesome is that? How amazing is that? That he would offer that forgiveness. Jesus is the eventual snake crusher that we are looking towards through the story of Genesis. And if we didn't know that, each character that comes along the way, we would think might be that person. But we haven't come to it yet, and we won't until the New Testament. But know this. It's through Jesus, the snake crusher, that salvation is available, that forgiveness is possible. All you have to do is put your faith in Him and turn away from your sins. It's that simple. Trusting in Him and Him alone for salvation. I encourage you, reach out to me through the podcast. Reach out to your local church. Make sure they are a true church. I personally belong to a Baptist church. I think that would be a great place for you to go look. Read through the Gospel of John in the New Testament. You know, you don't need the podcast to see that one. But don't leave. Don't leave whatever time you're in right now. Don't go on to whatever's next in your schedule without first taking care of this. Man, you can even go somewhere. I have a friend that works for chataboutjesus.org. I'll see if I can find a link to that and put it down in the description below. Don't go on to whatever's next without making that decision. And see the beauty of how our great and powerful God works throughout all of history. And next, as we'll see in the remainder of Genesis, how He works in the lives of the patriarchs of Israel. Hope you'll join us next week as we look at Genesis chapter 11, verse 27, through chapter 13, verse 8, and see the beginnings of Abraham's life. I thank you all for joining me, and I hope to see y'all next time.